Does Christianity work for the emotionally damaged? That's what we're going to find out today on Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. You've tuned in to Blog Week. This is a week's worth of shows that focuses on subjects that have appeared in articles on our website, faithalone.org. Today's episode is called OCD and Assurance. This is a topic that arises quite often in our blog. Let's go to Sean and Bob in the Grace and Focus studios as they discuss this sometimes overwhelming issue.
Welcome to Grace and Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, my name is Bob Wilkin.
And we've been going through topics related to our daily blog, our Grace and Focus blog, which you are invited to sign up for. Every day you will receive in your inbox about a 500 to 600 word meditation on the Bible or theology or related issues to salvation and assurance. I promise you, these blogs are going to be a blessing to you because they're drawn from God's Word, and God's Word is what blesses you, changes your mind, transforms your life, encourages you, and builds you up. And so I really encourage you to go to faithalone.org, sign up for our blog. This isn't fluffy stuff. This is stuff that's going to challenge you, that's going to make you think, but it's simple enough that anybody can read it and understand. For example, one of the things that we emphasize very strongly here is that assurance is a part of believing Jesus' promise of everlasting life. It's not something that comes later on in life. It's not something that's separate from faith. It's a part of faith itself. So if Jesus says, whoever believes has everlasting life, and you believe that, then what do you believe you have?
Yeah, you believe you have everlasting life.
And if you don't believe you have everlasting life, then you haven't, obviously you haven't believed Jesus' promise yet. And so you can't believe in Jesus and not have assurance of what he's promised to give you. All right, assurance is a part of faith. Now, as a consequence of that, now that doesn't mean you're always going to have constant assurance your whole life and you'll never, ever doubt, ever. You know, we're not saying that.
Right. And I might point out, Sean, that really assurance is another name for faith.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if I say I am assured that North Carolina is a state which is north of South Carolina, I believe that North Carolina is a state and it's north of South Carolina.
Right. And if I said, I believe that North Carolina is north of South Carolina, but I'm not at all sure if that's true.
Right. Then that would make no sense.
That makes no sense.
Right. When we talk about assurance of everlasting life, what we're saying is we believe that we have everlasting life based on the promise that Jesus makes.
Right.
And so the belief is another name for that is assurance. But as you say, the reason why assurance can be lost is because belief can be lost.
Right.
In other words, when I came to faith in Christ, I was a senior at University of California at Irvine. I was rather liberal politically. By rather liberal, I was pretty close to being a communist. I would have voted, I think, for a communist had they run for president. In my first presidential election, I voted for a very left-wing political candidate in 1972.
Gorbachev.
Gorbachev.
Write-in candidate.
No. But anyway, after that, because of influences I had in reading the Bible and Christianity, I became politically more conservative, and my political views changed. And so the assurance I had about the goodness of communism when I was 18, 19, and 20, I lost when I was 25, 26, 27. I no longer believed that communism was a good form of government.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I had changed. In the same way, a person who today knows for sure that he has everlasting life and is convinced of it based on what Christ promises may not have that same assurance tomorrow. And there are even physical reasons why that can occur.
Right. And so what we're saying is, so long as you believe in the promise, you'll have assurance. But there's no guarantee that you're going to keep on believing. I mean, you can have doubts maybe just once a month or once a year. Or you might have doubts during the day. You might believe and then have doubt and believe and have doubts and believe and have doubts. And then you'll, in those moments of faith, you should have assurance because belief and assurance are the same thing. But in those moments of doubts, you'll probably lose your assurance. But you just said, Bob, that some people might have doubts for like physical reasons. And one of the things that we get quite a bit of is people who call up the ministry, they don't have assurance of their salvation. And their focus is, they'll ask us lots and lots and lots of Bible questions. And no matter how many Bible questions we answer, that usually doesn't satisfy them. And they're still really worked up. And you can just hear in their voice that the issue is not the issue. There's something else going on.
Right.
And usually when we ask, do you happen to be OCD? You know a little bit about that.
Yeah, OCD is obsessive compulsive disorder. And it's a mental illness where a person's thinking rages out of control unless they're medicated.
Mm-hmm.
And so these people obsess about things,
mm-hmm.
whether the front door is locked, whether the garage is closed. I had a friend who, he would drive along on the highway and he'd see something on the other side of the divided highway and he'd have to get off and go because he thought maybe it's somebody that's been hit.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's, you know, a small child or something that's hurt and needs to be. And he was just obsessed with thinking that way.
Right.
And with medication, people who have this obsessive compulsive disorder can think straight.
Right.
And when they don't take their medication, they don't think straight.
Right.
And so oftentimes what happens is, when they don't take their medication, they obsess about religious things.
Right.
And one of the main things they obsess about is assurance of their eternal destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And so they want to then be able to explain every passage and control everything, and it causes great anxiety for them.
Right.
It seems to me in their case, the issue is not really as much spiritual as it is physical. In other
right.
words, their brain isn't functioning properly until they take their meds.
Like, I remember when I first started working here and started taking those calls myself, I kind of asked you about it, and you said, oh, one of the first things that you should ask is, are you OCD? And they'll often say yes, and they often have said yes. And two, ask them, are you usually on medication? And if you are you taking the medication currently? And just as you predicted, a lot of the times the people will say, I am OCD. And no, I'm currently off my medication. And then we would recommend consult your doctor and make sure that you're on your medication, because there are enough problems and temptations and trials in this world that you don't need to be fighting against your own brain chemistry.
No, that's exactly right. And there are a lot of people who are obsessive compulsive, but they don't have the disorder.
Mm-hmm.
I'm obsessive compulsive.
No.
No,
not
really,
at all.
I have to admit this in front of the entire audience here, but I am obsessive compulsive, but I don't think I quite go to the disorder level. But if I did, I would take the medication. You know, for me, I don't find that my thinking is so obsessed that I can't get it under control. But for example, when I go to bed at night, it's not unusual for me to check the front door twice or three times.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm getting a little better. I'll go, okay, twice is enough. Or check that the garage door is closed. You know, I'll check that a couple of times. And I can't tell you how many times I've driven away from the house and then thought, did I really close the garage door? And I go back and look
right.
at it. Well, all that's stupid, right? It's all obsessive compulsive stuff.
Uh-huh.
But fortunately for now, it's these little things.
Right.
But if it gets any bigger, to me, that can become a debilitating sort of illness.
Oh, absolutely. Especially if it's affecting your faith and putting into doubts about your relationship and your eternal standing with God. I mean, one thing that I really do not like, and I feel so bad for Christians who've experienced this, are Christian communities that just lay a guilt trip on people if they have any type of mental illness. And the guilt trip usually goes like this. You shouldn't have to be taking a medicine for your mental disorder. Those aren't real. You should, if you're a strong Christian, a true Christian, then you'd be mentally healthy and you wouldn't need help from anyone. And just the Bible and God would be enough. That's just not true for anything. If I break my arm, I need a cast. It doesn't matter if I'm a true Christian or not.
Oh, no, Sean. If you're a true believer, you don't need a cast.
You can just keep on lifting weights with that broken arm or something.
Name it, claim it or something.
Yeah.
What is that?
No, listen. God made us as physical beings, and things can go wrong physically with you. And he has gifted some people on this earth with wonderful medical knowledge, and he uses that to heal people.
Right. Now, God can heal directly, but he often chooses to use doctors. The truth of the matter is, I tend to agree with people who say we way over-medicate in our society today, not just with psych drugs, but with all drugs. We take too many pain medications, whether it's non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs or whether it's narcotics that people take, whatever it is, we take too many pain meds, we take too many meds for all the psych issues, etc. But having said that, it seems to me there's nothing in the scriptures that forbids or restricts the ability of Christians to use medication if they're dealing with anxiety that they can't get under control or depression that they can't get under control. But for sure, things like obsessive compulsive disorder, or what if a person's a diabetic? Is it lack of faith for them to take insulin?
Right.
If they don't take insulin, they're not going to think straight. In fact, they're going to have a coma and die eventually.
I know in the early years of our marriage, my wife, Abby, if she didn't eat regularly, she would become extremely indecisive and she couldn't think or make decisions, you know. And I used to get really frustrated by that because I was like, you know, is she just putting this on? Is this a real thing? Well, it was a real thing. And it took, you know, I had to grow up and realize, no, she just needed a snack in order to think straight. And if she didn't, she literally could not think clearly. And my response to that shouldn't have been to be frustrated or to get angry or to lay a guilt trip on her. It should have been just to carry a candy bar with me at all times, just in case, you know.
Right. I mean, I have low blood sugar, and I experience the same kind of thing, and that's why I try to eat every 2 or 3 hours, because if I go 6 hours without eating, man, I get lightheaded, and like you say, I don't think well. And the same thing is true with lots of things in life. If a person develops paranoid schizophrenia, which typically hits late teens, early 20s, they need to get on drugs right away, on medication right away, so that they can have a normal thought life. Otherwise, their brain chemistry gets all messed up and stays that way. It seems to me whatever the issue, like, for example, OCD, which we're talking about here, the person needs the medication that God has made in nature that will help them to make them think straight. In my opinion, it would be wrong for them not to take their medication, because then they're going to stop thinking correctly and they're going to cycle and they're going to be having issues pulling them down. It's important to realize that we are physical human beings as well as spiritual human beings. That involves eating right, getting enough sleep, getting enough exercise, and enough rest. It also involves any medication that I might need to take to make my body function properly.
The takeaway here is this. Don't let anybody lay a guilt trip on you about getting the help that you need so that you can think straight about God's Word. God wants you to be able to operate with a clear head so you can read the Word clearly and get the encouragement you need from it.
Amen.
And in that sense, be a functioning member of the body of Christ for your blessing and for the blessing of those people around you.
Amen.
A big thanks to Sean and Bob for that great discussion. I hope this discussion can come as a relief for you or someone you love. This is an important topic. Considering all this, I'd encourage you to come and spend some time on our website. The simple reassurance of salvation by faith is on virtually every page of our website, including the blog. Get signed up for our blog at faithalone.org. In addition to this, we have all kinds of other resources ready for you. I'd encourage you to come and take advantage of those right away. If you'd like to reach out to Bob or Sean, if you have questions, feedback, or ideas, I'll give you our email. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow we're going to wrap up Blog Week with one more episode inspired by one of our influential articles on faithalone.org. Tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.